is a new sugya, Sachem. Okay. Oh, tomorrow. So Pesachim. So this should be, so the Gemara is the Mishnah basically is in Pesachim. The question is a sugya about na and mevushal, about eating the carbon Pesach. As the Torah says, the pasuk, it says, maybe we should get the pasuk. Sliyesh. Right. It says Sliyesh. Shmeis Yudbeis.
It's in the reading for the first year of the Pesach, I believe.
So the pasuk says, one second. Achlus abasa. This is in Shemos Yudbeis Chas. Achlus abasa b'layla hazeh, and you should eat the pasuk, the meat on this night. Tzliyesh umatzos, roasted in a fire, and with matzos al maror michlo, and maror you should eat it. Okay? So tzliyesh, roasted on fire. Al tochlu mimenu na. Do not eat from it na, which means like half cooked, half roasted. Uvashal mevushal v'mayim, or cooked in water. Cooked in water. Kiyim tzliyesh, but only roasted in a fire. Roshal al krav al kirbo. Its head and its innards and it's like legs. Okay? Fine. So you have the positive of achlat tzliyesh, it tells you you should eat tzliyesh, and then it says el salav. So there's the positive that say, the mitzvah say, it tells you to eat the Pesach, tells you to eat it roasted. But then there's a lav, there's a losa say, it says don't eat from it na, which means halfway roasted, nor cooked in water. Rather, it should only be tzliyesh. Okay, roasted by the fire. Okay, fine.
Wait, is that
in Shvi'i,
or is that in...
Where is that? In which aliyah, you mean? Yeah. Ruvi.
It's in
Ruvi? Yeah. Okay. So now, the Mishnah says, on Memam Aves, it says, Ein Mevashlin, I'm reading in the middle of the Mishnah, but it's, Ein Mevashlin, the Pesach, lo b'mashkin, lo b'meperos. So you can't cook the Pesach in low liquids, nor in fruit juices. Okay?
What's the difference between a liquid and fruit juice?
Well, mashkin, I think, has a technical meaning of the Shiva mashkin. There are seven liquids. And fruit juice is not what the Shiva mashkin. Okay? It says, Aval, Sachin, Umatbilan, also, Bahem. But you could anoint it. Okay, while it's roasting, you could anoint it, smear the stuff on. Or you, when you're eating it, you could dip your Pesach into these liquids. That's fine. But you can't cook it in them. Okay, and the reason why, Rashi says, so you shouldn't eat from it half roasted or cooked in water. Okay, so Rashi says, a little bit mashkim, liquids. I forgot the chsiv, but mayim. The pasuk only says mayim, water. Doesn't say anything about other liquids. The time for the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to explain why. Okay? So that's what we're going to do, basically, for starters. Okay, so the Gemara, Mem Aleph, Mem Aleph, the Tudat, it says, Tanu Rabbanan. Bamayim. The pasuk says, Bamayim. Cooked in water. Ainli Ela Bamayim. I only know something which is cooked in water. Shar Mashkin Minayin. How do I know there's a problem, a prohibition, a losase? Okay, we have to remember here. Not everything that's not allowed is a losase. You could be obligated to roast it. Doesn't mean if you don't roast it, it's a losase. The Torah has to come along and posit a losase. So there could be ways in which you would not be roasting it, yet not necessarily violate the losase. Okay? Like, for instance, we're going to get to this later, but if I eat it raw. I ate it raw, I didn't violate the losase. The losase said half roasted and cooked. Raw isn't either of those. But it doesn't mean I did the ase of eating it roasted, fire flame roasted. I didn't do that.
You're not allowed to eat raw meat.
Huh?
The losase, you're not allowed to eat raw meat.
No, you're allowed to eat Ibn Achai. You don't say you don't eat raw meat.
there. And as long as you salt the way the blood, you could eat it.
Oh, but we can salt them. You can salt them.
Okay. So raw meat could be eaten halachically.
Yep.
Why is that a good thing?
Yeah. So again, so this is the Mishnah. So it says the pasuk says, "B'mayim ainli el b'mayim." I only know that the lo sase is to cook it in water. Okay, or to say, I only know you can't cook it in water. Okay, now again, obviously, anything you cook it in is not going to be the ase of tzli. But I only know, we're always talking about the lo sase here. Okay, so I'm just going to talk loosely to say, I only know that you can't cook it in water. But I mean, the lo sase is regarding cooking it in water. I only know the lo sase is regarding cooking it in water. Shar mashkim inayin, how do I know that if I cook it in other liquids, it's also the lo sase? Okay, liquid, the cooking, bishel is a reference to liquid. Cooking in a liquid. Okay, that's bishel.
In other words, boiling.
Yes, boiling. Okay, bishel. Term tzli is what means roasting on a fire. Okay, or something to that effect. Okay, so I only know the prohibition is to cook it in water. But what about all other liquids? So Amrus, so there's machlokas here. The Tanakhama says like this. Kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Uma mayim she'en mafigim taimon asurim. If water, which does not impart taste into it, is asur, Torah prohibits it. Right? One second. Yes, right. Doesn't give it part any taste. Shar mashkin shemefigim taimon lokol shekein. Of other liquids which do impart taste, all the more so they should be included in the law. Okay, even water which doesn't give any taste, the Torah prohibited. Certainly, other liquids which impart taste. Okay, fine. That's Tanakam. Rabbi Omer. No, differently would. Bamayim, it says in water. Ein li ela mayim. I would only say water. Shar mashkim minayin. How do I know the other liquids? Talmud lomar uvashel mevushal. It's a double language, double lashon. Vashel mevushal. Cooked. Mikol makom. It doubles it to say any type of vessel, any cooking. It just would have said uvashel mamayim. You say it just means cooked in water. Uvashel mevushal mamayim means cooked and cooked in water. Means that it's just picking water as an example, but it really means any kind of vessel. My benayu, what's the difference? Whether you learn out other liquids from a kal v'chomer, or do you learn it out? Chamem aleph man aleph, where it says sham in the right column. What's the difference if you learn it out from a kal v'chomer, or if you learn it out from the pasuk of vashel mevushal, from an extra word? Same thing. Either way, it's not using any liquid. Yikah benayu, tzli kedar. Tzli kedar. What does tzli kedar mean? So, Rashi says, "Shemevashlan oso b'kedera below mayim below shum mashke elamayim anafotim mishmena." So you cook it in a pot. You roast it in a pot, or whatever you want to call it, in a pot with no liquid put in the pot, no additional liquid. But it's gonna, spit out its fats. And it's going to become water. And now it's going to be, right, if you cook something with that, you'll see it pretty quickly. It's going to accumulate some sort of liquid and the fats. So you're cooking it, technically you're cooking it in a liquid. So is that included or not? So what would you say? If you learn it out from the kal v'chomer, then what? Then you'd say this is a problem or not a problem?
It's a problem because the thing imparts taste. Or you want to say it's already part of the taste.
Right, so it says the man the alechol and kal v'chomer hamashari. Here it's okay because the kal v'chomer was if water which doesn't impart taste is a problem. Certainly other liquids which impart taste, but this doesn't impart taste. This is the very same taste. It's not imparting anything. It's just the very thing you started with. But according to the side who learns it out from uvashel mevushal means any beshel, right? Then what's the difference? Einami v'bashel mevushal. This is also correct. I don't care what the whole idea is. Any liquid. That's the Larry Limut. Any liquid. So they learn it from different places, but the different places isn't just for the sake of different places. There's actually a practical difference which emerges. from the two different ways to learn it out. Okay? But our job is to understand the different concept. What's the difference, whether you learn it out from the Kal Vachomer or from the Gzeirah Shavah? Apparently it's a different concept. It's the exact same concept. It couldn't be enough, Gemina. So it must be it's a different idea, whether you learn it from Kal Vachomer or whether you learn it from the Reboy. Texture. Yeah, the Isser is, again, I may talk loosely here, but the Isser is not cooking it. The Isser is eating it. Eating it in that state. So if you cook it, you don't violate a prohibition. I mean, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to because you're going to ruin the Karban Pesach. But that's not the law. The lo sase is, you get malchus in theory for this. I mean, the lo sase is when you eat it that in that state. So you say you're not allowed to cook it, you're not allowed to whatever. I mean, you eat it cooked. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Let me ask you a question here. Okay, I guess you could say a leading question or perhaps just a question. So let's analyze it slowly. Let's take the first one, Kal Vachomer. Right? He learns the Kal Vachomer. He says that if the Torah prohibited water, which does not impute flavor, cooking in water, certainly cooking it in other liquids, which impute their flavor.
Yeah.
Right? So what could you deduce about this position, about the Isser?
The issue.
So if you'll say the issue is flavoring the Pesach, but then what does it mean the Torah prohibited water? So why don't you say, oh, the fact that it prohibited water shows there's nothing to do with that. Okay, good. So Yonas is good. It seems the prohibition is the prohibition not just of eating the Karban Pesach with Yeah, the prohibition is not just doesn't. Yeah, so you see the prohibition is a problem. Yeah, so you see that it's not the prohibition is a problem of like a certain sense of a diluting of the Karban Pesach. Or of like the Karban Pesach has to be pure, so to speak. Okay, and it's sliyesh, roasted in flames. Don't start adding water. Don't dilute it with water. Even though it's only water, so you'll say not really, but it's it dilutes it. It waters it down. Right? It waters down the meat. Right? The pure meat is barbecued. It doesn't have anything external. So if the Torah prohibited even cooking it in water, where you're merely watering it down, but it doesn't impute any external flavor, it just imputes the consistency or the juiciness of the water. Certainly, if you actually add a flavor, orange juice or a barbecue sauce or something, which is actually going to impute flavor to the thing. Right, it's even more of a diluter. Right, the water dilutes it in substance, so to speak, but not in flavor. Certainly, if you add in another flavor, right. But if you cook it in its own juices, then you're not diluting it at all. That's just the Karban Pesach. Just the Karban Pesach. You're not adding anything. You're not adding any liquid. It is what it is. Right. So that's the way he's learning. Tanya's learning the prohibition of cooking it in water. It's because water is like a diluting agent. And that's why you can't cook it that way. You just have to cook it in the flame, roast it, nothing added. That's how he's learning that prohibition. Good? I don't necessarily mean that the idea is, philosophically, that the Torah doesn't want you to dilute your Pesach and it wants it to be. I don't mean like in that sense. Although that might be the reason, but that's not what I mean when I say whether diluted. I mean, what is the Torah prohibiting? It's prohibiting eating it in a diluted manner. Okay, for whatever reason. I mean, that's just the definition of when it says you can't cook it in water. It means eating it when it's prepared in a diluting manner. Okay, I guess that's the most standard reason to think. It kind of intuitively makes sense that, you know, the Torah wants it to be pure or whatever, you know, whatever, something like that, but... So that's like it kind of implies a certain philosophical reason. But I'm not necessarily taking a stand on that. Why? I don't know. Maybe that is, maybe that isn't the reason why. You know? Even the cooking, I'm saying, I'm not sure what the reason is. So in a purely halachic sense of defining, what do we mean when the Torah is prohibiting water cooked in water? I'm not saying why. It sounds like a why, because there's a certain, it naturally points to a why, but I don't know, maybe there's other whys. It could just be, that's just the definition of what does it mean, cooked in water. What does it mean? It means I'm eating the thing in a diluted manner. That's what it means. Now, obviously, that's not what na means. Half cooked roasted is going to be a different definition. and maybe different. Maybe they both have the same underlying reason. Maybe nothing to do with anything. Nothing to do with diluting. Or just what's the definition of cooked? You know what I mean? So that's what I'm doing now. I'm not looking really for the why. I'm just kind of looking for the what is the definition of mevushal mevushal. You know?
Yeah.
That brings us to the other side. So the other side says mevushal mevushal. Mikal makom b'mayim. Mikal makom. Not only water, but any liquid. So what's his idea? Again, not philosophy. Halachically, what's his idea? Okay, good. So you know this is good. Is that simple? Is that the Torah prohibited eating the carbon pesach cooked? Cooked means a certain method of preparation. Cooking in a liquid. Okay, making it edible via a liquid medium. Right? And whether an ordinary method is water. It's the ordinary way that method takes place. And you may have thought the Torah only prohibited it in the ordinary method. Because it's prohibiting a certain process. Process is the ordinary way in which it's done, which is water. But Uvashal Mavushal teaches you any type of Bishal. Not only the model kind of Bishal, but any kind of Bishal. The method of preparation of Bishal, Torah prohibited. Carbon Pesach has to be Tzli, not Mavushal. Roasted, not cooked. And if it's cooked, that's prohibited. Nothing to do with diluting. Nothing to do with diluting, even its own juices. The point is, it's a certain method of preparation of the thing. So even in its own juices, it's still the same method. It's cooking it in a liquid. As opposed to roasting. Roasting it is cooking it with fire. This is cooking it using a liquid. It's the fire is involved, but it uses a medium of a liquid. So the Torah is prohibiting eating the carbon pesach when it's prepared in a certain method of preparation. So who cares what the liquid is? Whereas the first sheet held it didn't do the method of preparation per se. It was bishul as a diluter of the thing. So as a diluter of the thing, it doesn't. If you do it in its own juices, it may still technically be the method of preparation called bishul, but the Torah is nothing against the method of preparation called bishul. The Torah is prohibiting the bishul as a diluter. So if it's its own juices, it's simply not a diluter. Okay? Again, nothing to why, I have no idea. Just defining two different ideas of ways of setting up the prohibition. You know what I mean? So that brings us further. Okay? So if you've experienced in Gemara questioning, the line of reasoning of Gemara, so the Gemara naturally has a problem coming up. Okay, the first position says you learn out other liquids from Kal V'Chomer. The second position doesn't have that Kal V'Chomer. You understand why the second position doesn't have the Kal V'Chomer. See, the Kal V'Chomer only works if you have a premise that this is an idea of diluting. So then the Kal V'Chomer works. But if your premise isn't going to do with diluting, it's a method of cooking. So the Torah only says mayim, so maybe it's only the primary form of the method. You have no way to extend it without a riboy. You need an extra word. Okay? So he uses the extra word to teach you extends. Okay, so now the question is, so what about the first position we learned the Kal V'Chomer? What does he use that extra word for? Okay? This is extra. All right? So that's the first question now.
Right?
The other way is an akasha. Why the second guy doesn't hold by the Kal V'Chomer is because the Kal V'Chomer is based on a premise that it's an idea of diluting it. So then you say diluting with water, certainly diluting with other liquids. So that's fine. So the second guy says, no, it's not diluting it, but it's the idea of the process of cooking. So he says the riboy, extra word, tells you it's cooking any type of cooking. Fine. Any type of cooking. That's extra word. But the Kal V'Chomer guy didn't use it for that. So what does he use the extra word for? It's an extra word. You have to explain it. Okay. So the Gemara asks that. Okay? So Rabbanai Boshem Roshem Mayav Delei Miboy Lelichet D'Tanya. Okay? So it's to teach you, it's for this following halacha. Bishlo ve'achkach tzla'o o shetzlo ve'achkach bishlo chayav. If you cook it and then roast it, or vice versa, roast it and then cook it, you're chayav. And eat it, of course. Okay? So which one of those would you understand? Which one of those is the more understandable to you?
Roasting and cooking.
Roasting and then cooking.
You roast it and then you cook it.
Okay, why?
Because first you cooked it, but then you completely roasted it, so it's as if you never cooked it.
Okay, that's interesting. It says Bishlam. I hear what you're saying, but I think the Gemara
direction.
What?
The other direction.
Other direction.
Cook it, because then the heftz is prepared, and only now you roast it, and the roasting is only cosmetic.
Okay. So good. So let's see. So the Gemara says again: it's cooking if you do both processes, cooking and roasting in opposite orders. What? Cooking in water and roasting is in fire. So it says bishlav a bishlav akach tzla'o. I understand if you cook it first and then you roast it. because you cooked it, so you cooked it as the prohibition comes about. Now whatever you do afterwards, yeah, it's like icing on the cake, but it's already ready, it's already prepared, it's cooked. But if you roast it first and then cook it, right? So what's the problem? Right? I mean, I kind of hear what Chaim's point is. Yeah, but now you're supposed to be undoing it. But look, it's already edible, it's already tzliyesh, so now what's the problem? Okay, so the Gemara says, Am Rav Kana Hamani, Rabbi Yossi. So it says, I'll tell you, this is Rabbi Yossi. Okay? And Rashi says, Rabbi Yossi holds, Amar Bishalach Arfiya Bishalho. Rabbi Yossi holds that cooking means with water. Cooking after roasting is defined, cooking after baking, baking is like bread. Cooking after baking is defined as cooking. And similarly, cooking after roasting is going to be defined as roasting. It's defined as cooking. Okay, cooking after something else is defined as cooking. So since you already roasted it, yeah, but now you're cooking it, and that's cooking. In other words, this is an old question. It's an old question whether if you cook something after it's already previously prepared, does that have a status of cooking? Okay, what's the nafkamina? What's it talking about? There's an old machlokas. It's about matzah. Okay, about matzah. A little bit of a digression about matzah. The Tanya Yotzin Birakik Hasharoi Uvim Mevushal Shiloni Moach. So if you have a piece of matzah and you soak it in water, so could you use it for the mitzvah? Okay, for the mitzvah of matzah. So it says if it's you could, as long as it's not totally
breaking apart.
You're right, broken apart. Unless it doesn't totally dissolved. Right? Totally dissolved, broken apart. That you could. And what about if you cook it? What about if you have a matzah, you bake it first, and then you cook it. Cooking is in water, baking is not in water, right? And then you cook it. She says, also, it's also fine. As long as it doesn't dissolve, that's Reb Meir. So Reb Meir says, no problem. Well, right? No problem. It's baked. Bread is baked. Not boiled. Bread is baked. It's baked. So now it's baked. Now, you cook in water afterwards. Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Too late. It's already fine. Okay? He says, but Rabbi Yossi Omer Yotzim Rakek Hashoy Velob Mavushal Af Bishloni Bach. He says, yeah, you could do the mitzvah with if it's soaked. Soaked in water is fine, as long as it doesn't dissolve. But if you cook it, it doesn't work. Once you cook it, you got a problem, according to Rabbi Yossi. Cook it in water. Why Rashi? He says, Delav Lachem Kareinim Bay, because it's not bread anymore. Ve'afal Pishek Vayin Afavatan. Or even though you baked it, you did bake it. Hovul v'chazer u'bishlo, since you then cooked it in water, but lumitoras lachem, it's no longer bread. Bread is something which is baked, not cooked. Here, since after you bake it, you cook it, that has the status of bishel, of cooking, and therefore it undermines its status as bread. Bread is a baked item, not a cooked item. Okay? Whereas Rabbi Meir held, once you bake it, you bake it. Period. Now it's baked. Now whatever you do afterwards doesn't matter. I mean, unless it dissolves, but otherwise, the fact that you bake it isn't defined as baking, right? So that's the machlokes in Rami and Rabbi Yossi. Does cooking it after baking register such that it undermines its status of being baked and makes it into cooked? Or you say, no, once it's baked, it's baked. Similarly, the Gemara is saying, if you roast the carbon pasach and then you cook it, right? If you roast it and then you cook it. If you say that the cooking registers, so now it's cooked. So now you violate the prohibition of being cooked. But if you say that no, that once it's baked, once it's roasted, period. So now I don't care what you do afterwards. You cook it if all you want. It's not going to be a problem. Right? So that's what the Gemara says. So that's how you explain why it is that you still violate the prohibition if you bake it and then you cook it. Because the cooking registers. So, like your mayor? Yes.
What happened to the
pasuk? Okay, so now the Gemara says, no. So Gemara says, no, Amar Ula, Amar Afil Temer Mayor. No, you could even learn this as a mayor. Even a mayor who holds that ordinarily if you cook it after you bake it, it's zero, it's not recognized because it's already baked. But here, if you roast it and then you cook the carbon pasach in water, It will be recognized. Why? Dalmar Kra, Uvashal Mavushal. Because that's what he uses, Uvashal Mavushal, extra word for. Uvashal Mavushal teaches you that any kind of baking, any kind of cooking, any kind of cooking, not any liquid, that's already we know from the Kal Vachomer. Uvashal Mavushal, any kind of cooking, even a cooking after roasting. Okay, so ordinarily cooking after roasting would not be cooking. But here, Uvashal Mavushal is telling you anything. It's a reboy. Even a cooking which occurs after the roasting, it's still going to prohibit the thing. Yeah. Yes, here, either way, but no matter how you, that's what we're saying. So that's exactly what Ula is saying. No matter how you learn by the matzah, whether or not the baking will, the cooking will undermine the baking, undermine the shame of bread, undermine the breaking, the previous baking, or not, when it comes to tzli, to Karban Pesach, you're going to be chayiv. You're going to be chayiv, it's going to be considered cooked. Okay? And that because extra pasuk. Because of the pasuk. And that's what he does with the extra pasuk. That's what he does with the extra pasuk. Okay? Within him there. You may wonder, okay, so let's say you hold, like, cook even by matzah, you already, it's already defined as baking. As cooking after the baking. So then you may wonder why you need the pasuk for here. Right? Because we're saying as the pasuk is coming to teach me is that even though by matzah, a cooking after baking isn't recognized. The Pesach Pasuk comes and teaches me, oh, by Karban Pesach it is recognized. Yeah, but let's say by matzah I already hold that it's rec- you know, that the cooking is recognized. So then what do you need the Pasuk for? Then it's just following naturally, logically. Tosfos asks that question. And he answers, so maybe you'll get to it, that that's how he knows by the matzah case it works, because there's a Vashon Levushon. But whatever, let's, I'm just throwing that out there just to get you interested, but Let's leave it alone. Okay, let's keep it simple. Okay, so basically, well, we got a little work cut out for us now, right? A lot of stuff going on. Okay, so let's, I think we have to backtrack a little bit, right? So what do we have to define? I think what we should do is, the first machlokes, let's say by matzah. Does the baking, like that's like a question. Is cooking, which takes place after baking, is it defined as cooking? Is it defined as cooking? Such that now it will undermine the status of bread. Or do you say no? It's not cooking. It's too late. Right? That's one question. And that will, the Gemara at first says that should carry over to be the same exact question by Karban Pesach. That if you roast it and then you cook it, same question. Does the cooking register such that you're going to violate the prohibition of cooking or not? Same machlokas. That's one more thought. So we have to define that machlokas such that it would apply to both of them. And then we have to explain the logic to differentiate and say, even if by matzah, it doesn't matter, the cooking doesn't register to undermine the shame of matzah, of lechem, still by Karban Pesach it's different. And does that have anything to do now with the previous questions about what the concept of bishul is, right? I mean, somehow this may hook in, right? Remember, this is within the position who holds that it's Kal Vachomer. They learn that you can't cook another liquid from Kal Vachomer. Therefore, he has this Vashal Mavashal free to teach me that it's even cooking after baking. So maybe somehow to tie it in back to our old ideas, you know? Yes, Chaim. One second, Chaim. Another question which just occurred to me. It may or may not be a question depending on how you define this thing. But like, what we're saying is that does the Bishal after the Tzli register or not, right? Do you say that, like, I could, cooking it afterwards? That's Machlokes Rav Meir and Yossi, right? Does the cooking undermine the previous baking, right? Does the cooking in water undermine the previous baking and thereby undermine the din of matzah? Or you say, no, whatever took place first, that's it, right? Yeah, my matzah. First, talking about matzah. That was the question, my matzah. Now, if you say that the cooking undermines it, and now, you know, it removes it from being matzah, so wouldn't you think that if, let's say I did Bishul on my Karban Pesach in water first, and then I roast it. Then what Chaim is saying, shouldn't that be true? Shouldn't you say that similarly the roasting should undermine the Bishul? Like that the Gemara seems to understand. That for sure, that's a prohibition. Why? Because you oiled it. Yeah, but once the Gemara shows you that there's such a thing as undoing things, undoing the process, so why doesn't And then what we're saying is that that's why it's okay, because the bishul registers. So then why shouldn't, similarly, the tzli, which takes place after the bishul, the roasting, which was after the cooking, undermine the bishul, the prohibition of the bishul, so that it should disappear? Right?
Sorry,
good team. The Gemara says it first. Oh, I understand why if you cook it first and then you bake it, then you roast it, that's a problem because it's cooked. Karma pasuk can be cooked. But I don't understand why if you roast it and then cook it, it's a problem. So it says, oh, it's Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says the cooking afterwards will register and will undermine the lacha, the shem of baking. Similarly, will undermine the tzli, and therefore it's going to be a problem. Yeah, but now that you want to tell me it's Rabbi Yossi, then the opposite should be. So then back to the first case is, let's say you first roast it, bake it and then roast it. Why doesn't the roasting undermine the baking? First boil it and then roast it. Why doesn't the roasting undermine the boiling? Just like you're saying is that the boiling will undermine the roasting. Shouldn't it be reciprocal? Symmetric?